This is The Record. I'm Marcy Silman. Fried, grilled, boiled, or baked shrimp is the number one American seafood. But Paul Greenberg says most of that shrimp isn't from American waters. Nearly all of it's imported from shrimp farms with questionable water quality. And hard as this may be for you to believe, here in the Pacific Northwest, most of the salmon we eat is farmed and imported from other countries, too. Greenberg says it doesn't have to be this way. There's enough seafood caught in the U.S. to meet domestic demand. He thinks eating local seafood would lead to stronger environmental protections. Paul Greenberg's book is called The American Catch, The Fight to Save Our Local Seafood. David Hyde talked to Greenberg about the benefits of eating local.
I think that when you eat from your own shores, you create a positive environmental feedback loop. The first chapter in the book is about New York oysters. This country used to produce about 2 billion pounds of oysters per year, and we ate the per capita equivalent of oysters then, 100 years ago, as we now eat per capita of shrimp, which are all coming to us, or 90% of it coming to us from Asia. When we ate local oysters, even from New York City, what that did is that we depended on the water being clean and the estuary being healthy. Once you break that connection, what's to keep you from maintaining your estuaries in good order?
In Washington State, of course, we're a big producer of oysters, and people are concerned about water quality as a result of that. Why didn't that work in the past? I mean, if New Yorkers were so connected to their oysters, why did they pollute their water so much?
I think because we were an expanding nation and that there was always an option for something else. You know, when the oyster beds in New York started to fail, we started to bring in seed oysters from the Chesapeake. And when that started to fail, we started to bring in oysters from the Gulf. And so it's always this sort of daisy chain of looking right around the corner for the next thing that can compensate for your mess up. But at a certain point, you know, the link between consumers and oysters was broken. Once in the late 19th century, going to the 10s and the 20s, people started to associate oysters with things like typhoid and hepatitis and that sort of thing, and there was scientific proof of that, people lost their appetite for oysters. And you actually see American oyster production plummet to 1% of historical capacity. Now it's coming back, and that's largely thanks to the Clean Water Act. Now we're up to about 14% of historical capacity, and I think we could get up to 100% again, but we have to really eat our own oysters.
What's your dream for what more local seafood eating or nationalist seafood eating could mean for, for fish and for seafood?
Well, I'd like to see a huge project of shellfish propagation throughout the coastal United States. So that should be like sort of almost like the base of an American seafood pyramid. I'd like to see us eating a lot of farmed mussels and clams and oysters. Those in turn create really nice habitat and clean water for other kinds of fish that actually like to inhabit places where oysters are growing. I interviewed one grower in Rhode Island who grew oysters. He said when they took over their lease in the early 80s, they had a black anoxic piece of horrible bottom. And within a few years of putting in an oyster farm, it became one of the most popular dive sites in Rhode Island. I think if we start from the bottom up with oysters and shell and all other things like that, we can rebuild coastal fish populations, which we then in turn can harvest. We can also do things like, you know, salmon, for example, and other anadromous migratory fish. We have over 85,000 dams in this country, many of which don't generate any hydropower, and there are millions of smaller obstructions. If we got rid of those, we could revive things like river herring, like shad, eels, all these kinds of great things that we used to eat and that we don't seem to eat anymore.
It seems like, though, that from the fisherman's perspective or the seafood industry's perspective, they like to be connected to this international marketplace where prices are high. And as a consequence of that, they've got a stake in sustainability, too, don't they? So what's wrong with the way it's working up in Alaska right now, where fishermen feel like, hey, we want to keep doing this for 100 years or 200 years, selling to China, keeping the price up as much as we possibly can so that we have an incentive to keep that going?
I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, some trade. And I'm all in favor of there being a market for it. But what I think that does is it leads Americans to make less healthy choices in terms of their own diets. When we're out competed for the best seafood by better prices from, say, China and Japan, we're, as a result, getting things like tilapia and Pangasius catfish, you know, which are huge imports coming to us from Asia that have very low omega-3s and don't really offer the health benefits that our own fish, like the salmons. But like black cod, for example, you know, Seattle's one of the few towns in America where I can order black cod on a menu. And it's delicious. It's high in omega-3s. It's sustainably caught. And most of it is exported.
Sablefish, also known as sablefish. So
indeed.
Tasty. Well, okay, last bid then is really here to the fish consumers or the non-consumers. What do you say to folks who just say, I don't even know what a black cod is. I wouldn't know what to do with one if I had one. And frankly, tofu tastes just fine to me. Or popcorn shrimp. What's your case to them to start eating differently?
Seafood, particularly the high omega-3 seafoods, do have very, very good health benefits. They're good for the heart. They're good for the brain. I don't want us to go on an unsustainable seafood binge. And if there are people who would choose to be vegetarian rather than eating fish, that's fine. But if there are people who want to eat fish and they have the option of choosing American fish, they should choose it. And they should have the right to be able to identify it as American fish in the marketplace.
So fish labeling based on country of origin?
You know, there's some of it, but it could be much better. And, you know, one of the weird things is that as soon as a fish goes into one of these processing plants in Asia or Germany or into the Netherlands, where like a lot of the fake crab that's in our Californian rolls gets processed, the origin kind of disappears. So it's really hard to trace a fish once it's been processed. I'm told that in Japan that there are several gradations of country of origin on a fish product. It has to show where it was caught, but also where it was landed and processed. So I think levels of detail in our seafood labeling is a good thing, and I think would prevent some of the rampant fraud that we see in the marketplace today.
Tell us really why you're so passionate about this and what you want people to take away from the book.
I mean, I'm an ocean person, and I grew up fishing. I grew up fishing on Long Island Sound, and it was a way that I really connected with nature, and it was a way for me to feel like nature was healthy. I think I say in the book, there's no more intimate relationship we can make with our environment than to eat from it. I'd like other people to have that exciting experience and to contribute to the overall health of our environment by enforcing that eater-ocean connection.
That's Paul Greenberg. His new book is The American Catch, The Fight to Save Our Local Seafood. He spoke to David Hyde. You can see Paul Greenberg tomorrow evening at Town Hall Seattle. His talk starts at 7:30.